Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
We had us a little primetime party last night, y'all. A little Sunday night football. Nice to get a W over here in NRG Stadium. Nice little crowd. Nice little atmosphere. It was a good time, Ron. I tell you what, man, 2 weeks into the season, I feel better about these Houston Texans than I've ever felt about the Houston Texans. And I'll explain. Coming into this season, for me personally, there was one thing that we knew was the case for the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud was a bad man, and he's got weapons. Both of his big weapons, receiver-wise, are back from last year. They add Stephon Diggs. They add Joe Mixon. They bring back Dalton Schultz. You've got an offensive pass game that can get in a shootout and beat anybody in the league in terms of just being that electric and that productive. You've got that. A shootout, you got a shot, no matter who you're playing with C.J. Stroud. The two things that if you look back at last year, and you say, okay, in order for the Texans to get to be a real, true Super Bowl caliber football team, they've got to do X, Y, and Z, right? Here's it. There's two of them. I gave you three letters. I meant two. You got to do Y and Z, all right? So number one is you've got to, at the very least, run the football in a complementary fashion. Not dominant, but just in a complementary fashion. I'm clearly not talking about what happened last night because that wasn't the case. But we're going to go back to week one against the Indianapolis Colts. 40 rushes for 213 yards. Really, it was 36 rushes for about a buck 97 if you take C.J. Stroud's 13 yards for 200 yards. So it was really 36 for 200 if you take C.J. Stroud's scrambles out of the mix, because clearly we didn't have any quarterback-designed runs for C.J. Stroud. So week one, you win a game on the back of a run game, on the back of an offensive line, and on the back of an offensive line dominating a defensive front. Now, we fast forward and we understand that the Indianapolis Colts defense is not what we thought it was, because they got ran through like messed through a goose once again by the Green Bay Packers and Josh Jacobs.
When they knew that's what they could do. That was all. With Malik Willis in the game, they knew that's what they were doing.
Hey, you put it on tape that you can't stop the run, guess what? You're going to get punched in the face every Sunday until you show that you can. But I don't want to, because guess what? Guess what we didn't do last year some of the times against Carolina or against Atlanta? You play some teams that aren't very good football teams, and you go through the motions and you don't throw it well or run it well, and you end up losing that game, right? That particular game, what I think was front and center was one of the two questions about this team. Can they run it at the very least in a complementary fashion? Against the Colts, they ran it in dominant fashion, right? So that box was checked last week. And then you get to fast forward to this week. Now, we may have to circle back to that run game because it was awfully ugly, and there may be some concerns there this week. But this week, all of a sudden, you win a football game with a dominant defensive performance. Again, it was not a very good offense. It was a rookie quarterback that's with the coordinator that he just met 6 months ago or however long ago it was. But you dominated that particular team the way you should dominate that team if you're a really good defense and they have a rookie quarterback, right? That's a step in the right direction. Those are the two big question marks that I had for this football team that they've answered to date. Now, we'll see if it can hold up for 17 weeks. We'll see if they can run it against the better defenses. We'll see if they can pressure and confuse offenses that are quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes and all these other guys that are really, really good quarterbacks out there. But you can only play the schedule that they throw out there. And in the first two games, they've answered two monster questions. The defense this week, 7 sacks, 11 hits on the quarterback, 205 total yards. They had two turnovers. They won in every facet of defense that you possibly could. And I think the big stat that sticks out, according to Next Gen Stats, they had to do some correcting because Next Gen Stats screwed this up last night. We reported a little bit inaccurately on the postgame show, but that was on Next Gen Stats. Next Gen Stats, the Houston Texans, their pressure got home on 23 of 48 called pass plays. 23 of 48. That's damn near 50% of the pass plays that were called by the Chicago Bears. DeMeco Ryans not only dialed up a pressure, but that pressure got home. In fact, the last stat that I saw, Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter had 17 combined pressures, just those two alone. And a total, because you can obviously have more than one pressure, I guess, on a play. And
yeah,
the total pressure was 28 total pressures on 48 called pass plays. So the number is actually over 50% if you factor in multiple pressures in one, Ron. So the fact that the Texans have now won a game on the back of the run game as well as on the back of the defense, I don't know how big of a statement either game really is because we don't know enough about any of these football teams at this point in time. As I said, Indy is not who we thought they were, obviously, after 2 weeks. But the fact that the Texans were able to get that done and check those boxes, I think is a huge step in the right direction for this organization as they play to establish themselves as legitimate. Not me and you talking and the national media talking, but legitimate, you belong in the conversation with the Chiefs, the 49ers, the big boys in the NFL. As they fight to establish that, those are two big steps in the right direction.
Well, I think the major statement was made was, hey, let's see before the year, how many games will the Texans be able to win if CJ Stroud doesn't have to be clearly the best player in the game? And I think that they are 2-0 in that. I don't think it, and I don't think CJ now with this confidence, and I don't know that he ever did, fellas, but he doesn't feel the pressure to have to go out there and, well, I got to make plays. I think Anthony Richardson feels the pressure that I got to make plays. I think there are some quarterbacks, young or older, that feel the pressure of, I got to make plays, I got to make plays, I got to make plays. I don't think that he feels that way, especially after week one with the run game and what it did and this defense and what it did. I think that just is going to give him and them more confidence in, all right, I can just take what is given to me. I can just play the game and not have to do anything extra. So I think the big statement is they have now played two ball games. And neither one of them was C.J. Stroud, the best player on the field.
Great point. I think another thing about this defense, Ryan, this is the second time that I can recall where DeMeco Ryans asked Derek Stingley Jr. to shadow the opponent's best receiver, and he shadowed D.J. Moore and essentially took him out of the box score, took him out of the game plan, took him out of the – he was a non-factor in the ballgame. He did have a couple of plays. I don't think early on initially, right out of the gate, I don't think – Stingley was shadowing DJ Moore. At some point in time in the first half, they put that into effect. I don't think he did it the entire game, so I'm not sure the 50 yards or whatever it was that DJ Moore did have, I'm not sure how much of that occurred with Derek Stingley covering him. But Derek Stingley was in a position, again, to shadow the opponent's best receiver in a game where, obviously, the defense was going to pressure a lot. You're going to play a lot of man, and the ability to take the best receiver, really, because you talk to quarterbacks, I always tell quarterbacks when I'm working with them, like, hey, when you get cover zero, when you get blitz, when you get a pressure look, you got two options, right? One, first and foremost, and I hope this is the case, you find your best wide receiver, your best playmaker, and you get him to football right now. If your best playmaker can't beat one-on-one coverage, you don't have a great playmaker, right? So if you have that guy, go to him right now. If you don't have that guy, there has to be some kind of combination, some kind of pick route, some kind of rub route where you go to that right now. So as a quarterback, when you have a defensive, when you're looking across the ball and Derek Stingley is following DJ Moore and takes DJ Moore completely out of the game, then as a quarterback, I'm in a really, really bad spot. So Derek Stingley being able to do that was absolutely tremendous. D'Amico Ryans pulling that trigger, pulling that card, playing that card so early in the season was absolutely beautiful. Clearly, they're comfortable with it. And it leads me to this, Ron. I know why. If you're going to double move Derek Stingley Jr., cool, double moving. If he's soft and you're going to work an underneath route, throw something underneath him, cool, all day long, right? If you're going to change direction, a little whip route, they got DJ Moore on early in the game, cool, I get it. Why any quarterback and any offensive coordinator at this point in time decides, all right, boys, let's take a shot. And they decide that they're going to throw a straight go route or a back shoulder or a post. They're going to throw it to Derek Stingley in man situation. Now, the Colts did it. That was quarters coverage. Derek Stingley didn't do that. In a man situation, I don't know why teams even take a chance of throwing it Derek Stingley's way. He clearly has a size and athletic ability advantage over 90% of guys, and his ball skills.
Yeah, that's what it is.
His ball skills are as good as a wide receiver. So I just don't know, unless you've got a Mike Evans or a Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, and you think you're just going to run by. Okay, cool. But these guys that
if you were the quarterback, you're not throwing a 50-50 ball.
Ron, I'm look here, man. Wednesday, hell with that. I'm coming in Tuesday, and I'm sitting down with the offensive coordinator, and I'm going, all right, man, here's the deal. This week.
And you ain't doing that for Luke?
For Luke? Luke? Yeah, hell yeah. Luke holds the record today for the most yards per
Derek catch. Stingley out there, Luke, you feel that comfortable?
I'm comfortable with that. I mean, Luke was 6'4", 4'3". I'm good with that, absolutely. I mean, there wasn't a defensive back in the SEC. I wasn't throwing that thing up to Anthony Lucas.
DJ Moore.
That's
wasn't
Mike
guy
Evans.
For you.
That's Mike Evans. Seriously, if you're an offensive coordinator, if you're a quarterback, you go to your OC on Tuesday, the day off. Everybody else is out of the building. And say, all right, let's talk scheme here. Let's talk approach. All right, now if we're going to double move somebody, we're going to double move number four. All right, because we know he's going to be soft. We know he's jumpy. He's going to jump underneath routes, and we feel like we can get behind him, right? You may have the same opportunity double moving Derek Stingley Jr., but he has the athletic ability that if you don't throw it perfect, he can make up and snatch it out of the air. So I'm going to choose to pick number four. Now, if we're going to run go routes, hey, they're going to pressure us all day long. They're going to pressure us. We saw them pressure Caleb Williams. All right, I'm going to take the snap. I'm going to set my base, put my right big toe on the ground, and I'm going to throw this thing up and try to drop it at 42 yards down the field, 5 yards off the sideline, and let my best receiver run and at least step for step with Kamari Lassiter, if not run by him. Yeah. I'm going to drop it in the bucket. I'll be damned. And they don't even try it. They don't even try. It's like they want to attack. Ever since Daniel Jones tried it and it didn't work for him, it's like everybody just wants to try it. I don't understand the confidence.
They leave it short too, boy. Like, again, basically the 50-50 portion of it, and he goes up and
it's wild. It's the damnedest thing. And with Derek Stingley, you'd be like, hey, if anything, I'm gonna hit you in stride or I'm gonna overthrow you. I'm not underthrowing this thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know why teams continue to do what they do with certain players, man. It's with certain receivers and schematically. So we'll see. They tried it again on Derek Stingley. Derek was having a rough game early on. They were doing some things underneath, taking advantage of him, getting some separation. And it was a good plan, and then all of a sudden they decided to go deep on him. It's like, what are we doing here, man? So it's interesting. I think we're going to see teams just leave Derek Stingley alone, especially when he's in shadow mode, which seems to be something D'Amico Ryans went from not doing last year early on to going, actually we do that here. So it was good. All right, D'Amico spoke a little earlier. I know everybody heard it. If you want to hear D'Amico in full, go back to, what was it, 340 segment?
325. And I'll have it on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Podcast that thing. If you go back, Odyssey app, AUDACY, download that Odyssey app. You can use the rewind feature. You can go back and listen to D'Amico Ryans Monday. The Monday presser is always absolute money. And there's a football horny clip of the day that was birthed a little bit earlier by D'Amico Ryans in that 3:20 segment. So I got it for you. Here's the deal. We all saw it. Hell, we saw it on national TV. The people that were watching on TV saw it better than we did. Azeez Al-Shaair, clearly a guy that plays football mentally right on the edge of going crazy, and is just lights out, plays with his hair on fire, is an absolute machine, and lives by the rule of physicality. He's going to be physical wherever the hell he arrives. There's no doubt about it. And Caleb Williams is scrambling towards the sideline, clearly trying to stay in bounds, leaning in bounds, not out of bounds. And Azeez Al-Shaair, could he have just kind of chest bumped him and pushed him out? Absolutely. But instead, he absolutely mauls him. And look, Azeez is on their sideline and just gets swarmed by Bears players, from guys that were on the field coming off to guys that were on the sideline that just surrounded him, players, staff, all kind of stuff. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking specifically about the Azeez Al-Shaair situation on the Bears sideline.
From my, you know, perspective, seeing Azeez, you know, he had a big hit on the quarterback, and everyone goes, you know, everyone gets a little antsy when the quarterback gets hit on the sideline. But if the quarterback stays in, he's going to get hit. Like, and now I think everybody's a little sensitive when there are big hits in the league. Like, we still play a physical game, and you're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us. That's just how we operate here. And, you know, what happened after that, Azeez is, of course, he's surrounded by a lot of their players and also some staff, and they are surrounding him. They got people pushing Azeez and kick, like, so we have to, we have to be better. Boner alert.
You're going to get hard if you play us. That's just how we operate here.
Whoa. You left out hit.
No, I said you're going to get hit hard.
You didn't say hit. You did, man. You said you're going to get hard
if you play us.
Man, pull that back.
Lee, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch.
That'll be today's outro.
If you heard him say hit, going to get hit.
I like it.
Like to I mean, me. I don't like that.
I'm clearly losing it because I bet $1,000 right now I said
hey,
hit.
Let me tell you what right now, D'Amico Ryan, baby. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, Minnesota, be listening. Hey, your ass is going to get hard if you play us. Boner alert.
I mean, I don't know. I need you to pull that up. I'm pretty sure I said
that. Hit. I need that for the next time. I'll
be able to get it until 4:30, but I'll have it.
I heard the same thing.
You're going to get hit hard if you play us. That's just how we operate.
You
right
leave
here.
One word out. Yeah, that
absolutely love it. By the way, tremendous job by D'Amico defending his guy in a professional manner. He went about it by saying, yeah, their whole team swarmed him, players and coaches, staff. He went on to say even staff that was in plain clothes surrounded him. All he didn't say was, yeah, hell yeah, it's human nature to stand up and punch somebody.
Yeah.
So I thought he did a great job defending his player in an indirect way that was beautiful.
All right, coming up, we'll figure that out a little bit later on to see what Clint said, because people are saying you totally left that word out.
My wife did just text me. I don't think I did, though.
Okay.
I may have ran them all together.
We'll hear it. Let's get CJ's grade for this game. 23 of 36, 260, one touchdown, no picks. Let's get CJ's grade coming out of week two against the Bears. That's coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Victory Monday. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see Tyler's Victory Monday shirt, Mad Dog Monday as well. Cheers to you all, and a little Reaction Monday.
How's that Orange Jubilee treating you?
Good.
It was great.
It's good, man. Good times in Houston here. All right, let's jump into this, Clint. We want to do this every Monday, and as you are a quarterback, and me, I just love quarterbacks. Love them a lot.
You should
really enjoy quarterbacks. Like, I don't know if they get me the way you said the way you said teams play the Texans.
Get you good and hard?
but I mean,
it was fitting. I would
like,
swear.
I mean, I can't wait to hear
it. I think
this.
I said get hit.
Nope. Tyler is going to get that for us coming up next. Next segment.
My mind said it.
Yeah, your mind said it because you went right past it.
Yeah, your mouth didn't, though.
But,
yeah, well, look, that's a problem. Usually my mouth is running before my mind. It must have.
Yeah, you went somewhere else. But you can chime in with your thoughts as well because I'm sure you all love quarterbacks and C.J. Stroud. What's your grade for him? 23 of 36, 260, one touchdown, no turnovers, made plays when needed. Wasn't as good on third down this time because up front it seemed like on third downs, especially in that second half, he was getting a lot of pressure. But how would you grade C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday?
I'd give C.J. an A. I'd give C.J. an A. I mean, look, when you are your offensive line is struggling against a four-man rush, it's the most difficult set of circumstances that can exist for a quarterback because you're getting pressured and there's chaos around you and you're throwing the football through a picket fence because they're dropping seven guys into coverage. And I'm not talking about the offensive defensive line picket fence. I'm talking about the picket fence that they're building defensively for you to throw through. And so it just becomes exponentially more difficult. And he, in the first half, was able to navigate some of that and still make plays. I thought he did a tremendous job of escaping the pocket a couple of different times where I thought there was no way he was going to get free. He got free and made tremendous throws. Nico Collins on the other end of them. And then, obviously, in rhythm and on time, he's delivering footballs where guys can run after catch. He fit a couple of balls into tight windows. I just thought, given the circumstances and the opportunities that he legitimately had under a lot of duress, I thought he did a great job. Didn't turn the football over at all and made enough plays early on in this game to make it very difficult for Caleb Williams and this awful offense to come back and score enough points to get there. So wasn't a great day offensively, but I think with what C.J. Stroud, the set of circumstances that were laid at his feet, I thought he handled them swimmingly. I give him an A.
I won't go A minus. They're not all created equally. Sometimes you think A is like, hey, he went off and he had 350 yards or something. No, I was really impressed with, all right, clearly he got to a point where he understood the only way that they get back into this game is if I turn the ball over, if we turn the ball over. And there were moments, and I actually asked CJ this last night in the presser after the game about his aptitude to take more risks this year. Like, there are times where he roll out from that rush and try to go make something happen. Nah, he took sacks that was the smart play. Just don't turn it over, protect the football, don't get stripped, don't try to hold it longer. Like that, it became clear at 16-10, they're not going to score a touchdown unless the Texans help them. Like, there was the almost pick that would have been a pick six if he would have been able to hold on to it, but he couldn't hold on to it. Like, after that, it seemed like, nah, I'm not going to do anything to put you in the game. Now, the reason why I throw the minus in there is just based off a little, really honestly, what CJ said himself last night, and that is, I do think I put it on CJ a little bit. It did seem like something happened emotionally with the offense when Joe Mixon got injured and he went out. And it seemed like not just that their play suffered, but it just seemed like the juice was going. And that's exactly the words he used last night was, it's got to be on me to keep that juice going. And, hey, get back in it. Let's get back in it. So that's the minus part where I kind of come down on the A from you. I do agree with CJ that it is on him to keep that juice going. But I thought he played a very, very smart game in the second half and did what he needed to do so the Bears couldn't get back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with, I think you make a great point about what CJ said and the Joe Mixon thing is, when you lose Joe, like, Joe Mixon is clearly the voice that's in the huddle damn near every single down with CJ Stroud. As a quarterback, man, you're trying to gather yourself after what just happened. You're trying to hear the play, process the play, make sure the personnel gets in and out of the game, get in the huddle, By the way, you're keeping an eye on the play clock the whole time. You're calling the play, making sure you're repeating certain parts of the play and putting an emphasis on certain parts of the play so guys understand it. If anybody has a question, you're getting it communicated and getting to the line of scrimmage. You don't have time as a quarterback to be the rah-rah, get your head in the game, get your head out of your tail kind of guy. And it seems like Joe Mixon is that guy. The juice he brings, along with being the running back and a really, really good running back, is it wouldn't shock me. Every huddle, every good huddle, has somebody other than the quarterback. Like in the Chiefs huddle, I guarantee it's Kelsey is the guy. Maybe it's one of those offensive linemen
Creed Humphrey, maybe it's one of those guys.
But you look like each huddle, most of the time, they have a guy that is not a receiver that's in and out of the game. It's somebody that's in the huddle a good chunk of the time. So when Joe Mixon goes out, now you lose that, right? You lose that juice. You lose that energy in the huddle. You lose that command of the huddle while the quarterback is out there trying to get his mind right and his bearings around what's coming next. So, yeah, I mean, C.J. Stroud's got to take a little bit more of the load when you lose a guy like that, or somebody do, because you think like Nico Collins ain't gonna be that guy. Pretty quiet. Dalton Schultz is pretty quiet. Laremy Tunsil ain't gonna do it. Titus Howard ain't gonna do it. Juice Scruggs is gone. Kenyon Green ain't gonna be that guy. I don't know about Shaq Mason. So you just start looking across the board. There's just Tank, as much as we love him, he doesn't seem to be that guy. Maybe Diggs is when he's in the huddle, but he's not always in the huddle because he's a receiver. So it is interesting. The dynamic of losing 28 is not just losing your best running back. Hell, we hadn't even talked about the dynamic of what Joe Mixon is in the pass protection game. I'm sure there's a level of security there, knowing Joe Mixon is going to pick up who the hell he's supposed to pick up, and he's big enough to pick up linebackers or anybody else that's coming. So lose 28, there's a drop off for sure.
It seemed like they lost, as he said, the juice, and just never quite regained it.
Yeah,
And I'm with him. Like, it's not a huge thing, but that's a bit on him. All right, before we get out of here, some concerns that we saw today, some things that D'Amico addressed today, D'Amico addressed yesterday. We'll look at those things as well and get you ready for D'Amico's coaches show that comes on right behind us, as well as big news out of the NFL. A quarterback was benched already 2 weeks in. We'll discuss that next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
D'Amico Ryans, the coach's show coming up behind us. We're out early on Monday at 5 because you get to hear the coach. You heard him earlier, as Clint and Tyler said. Tyler will have that posted for you on the podcast page, so listen up for that. But he will have the coaches show coming up at 5 o'clock right after we get done here. I promise I will get you to some of the concerns, because I think they're there, and you might hear him actually address those as well. But we got to get down to some business here, as Clint was rolling, and then he just had us both just shoot our heads up. Tyler backed away from the mic a little bit, and Clint was certain. He said, "Get hit hard." I mean, stop. What? What are you talking about? He said, "Pull the tape." And luckily for us in this business, generally, you know, if we were just out at, you know, Kirby Ice House or Urban Social or somewhere, and Clint said that, it'd be just, damn. Now that's our word against his. But no, we can pull the tape. So pull the tape, Tyler. Pulled the tape. Let's get it. Let's see if Clint actually, in his mind, he said, when you play us, you'll get hit hard. In everybody else's mind, we just heard Clint say, you play us, you'll get hard. And he was, I mean, it, from my memory, he was emphasis on it too. So here is, as we pulled the tape, who's right?
You're going to get hard if you play us. That's just how we operate here. You're going to get hard if you play us. That's just how we operate here. I heard what my mind was saying, boys.
Let me tell you something. You didn't run any of those words together.
I didn't. I did not run them together. You're going to get hard if you play us. That's just how we operate.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a football horny clip of the day. And
that was a mistake, D'Amico. That's not what he meant.
I think in a football sense, you will get hard. You should get good and hard. I mean, that's the if you're a Texans fan and your head coach says.
You want to hand over that shovel?
No. Quit digging. You want me to quit digging? I guarantee you Larry did. Guarantee you Sean Pendergast did. Boner alert. I know Tyler, when he said it, Tyler did in there.
Swing.
But I mean, that was not my intentions, but it does work. And I mean, it does work in the moment.
Yeah. You're going to get hard if you play us. If he said that and walked off. Let me tell you this right here. You're going to get hard when you play us. See you Sunday, Vikings. And Tyler Milner's coming with us, too.
That's right, baby.
And you know he's there.
That was sorry, awesome. Guys. It was a slip of the tongue,
no,
man.
No, don't be sorry.
Slip of the tongue, man.
Yeah. That was fantastic. All right, Clint. Speaking of some slip-ups, there are some things that D'Amico Ryans gets to coach on. I bet he'll talk about this coming up behind us. But this was a game that, when you look at it, you feel like they should have dominated more and this game should not have come down to the end and shouldn't have been closer. And there were a couple of real, real issues. And I think we are still at a point, Clint, with two in particular. Are they just one game, A, just had a bad night, or are these going to be trends that continue? And the two big things that jumped out, Clint, were the penalties and the pressure. And now the pressure, this is two straight weeks, Clint, that we've seen that come up for the Texans.
Yeah, the penalties are disturbing. I think that, you know, the stuff that is, you know, that you can, like, in play, sometimes people are just better than you. And sometimes, you know, there's a weakness in your offensive line, or you don't have the firepower at wide receiver, or, you know, whatever it may be. It's not the case with Houston. I'm just talking football in general. So bad football sometimes is a product of just a result of somebody else beating the hell out of you, somebody else being better. The penalties, I think, are a real problem, because that's the bullet that the Texans really dodged this week. Because you look at these penalties, Ron, I didn't realize this until Sean Pendergast last night in the postgame started running down the list of them. There was a field position swinging penalty after a return in the return game that would have at the very least given us great field position. The ball was brought all the way back because of a holding penalty. There was an interception, Kamari Lassiter, tremendous interception that was overturned because Tua Toa held on to a tight end up the seam in coverage. And so you got pass interference, holding, whatever the hell it was. That's a turnover. There was towards the end of the game, C.J. Stroud scrambled for a first down that would have allowed them to burn more of the clock and never give Chicago another chance. Called back for an illegal hands to the face. There was a Chicago Bears drive that was all but done for, and Mario Edwards roughs the passer. Caleb Williams, 15 yards, automatic first down. There was a touchdown drive. It was a 3rd and 14 that the ball was thrown over the middle of the field and Kalen Bullock pass interfered and gave them a first down. That drive ended in a touchdown. I mean, all of these penalties weren't just your run of the mill. I think there were a couple of false start penalties by Laremy Tunsil that took 3rd and shorts into 3rd and longs. So, I mean, those are penalties. Hell, if you just have one or two of them against a really good football team that after the game, you're like, man, that was brutal. That was absolutely brutal. The Texans had 12 penalties for 115 yards. and at least half of those penalties.
They're so unnecessary. Some of them so unnecessary.
Yeah. And look, some of them you can't avoid, but the truth of the matter is what you have to avoid is 12 of them in happening in one game for 115 yards. What you have to avoid is six of those penalties. They either cost you field position, turnovers, getting off the field defensively on a drive, stopping them on third down in a drive, which ended in a touchdown. I mean, there's just so many, you know, the offense being able to stay on the field and put a knee in it and ultimately in the game while possessing the ball and not giving it back to Chicago. Like, three of those in a game, and you're going to, against a good football team, you're going to have a hard time winning that ball game, especially if it's a tight game like yesterday was. And so the penalties, to me, were the big problem that the Texans just absolutely have to clean up. Because, again, you survived a game where you tried to, from a penalty perspective, you tried to give the damn thing to them. You did everything you could to give them every opportunity in the book to score points and keep up with you from a penalty perspective. That has to be cleaned up. You're not, I don't know that you're beating another team on this schedule with that kind of performance in the penalty category.
Yeah, that has to be fixed. And that to me I feel better about. Like, I feel like that is more fixable. Like, I think D'Amico and that group are more disciplined than that. This is 2 weeks in a row with the offensive line, though. In terms of protection, CJ's probably got – he's probably been sacked six or seven times already this year. And at one point in the second half, I think you said it. I know we got a roll, but, man, that's a four-man rush.
Yep.
They weren't even sending people.
That's the scary part of it. They were able to stop. They were able to stop the run with a basic front, no pressure, no crowd in the line of scrimmage. It was in due large part to their down four linemen are really good, and then they were able to either hit the quarterback or create chaos in the pocket for C.J. Stroud multiple times. And, you know, this was a bad day for the Texans offensive line. They've got to be significantly better, and it puts you in a spot where you go, Indy's not as good as we thought they were. The Bears are. I think they're going to end up being a top five defense in this league if they can hold it together and stay healthy. You know, where does this Texans offensive line rank? Can they play a really good front and still run the football effectively and protect the quarterback? I think that's a fair question right now.
No, it is. But big win. They are 2-0, and everybody else in the division is 0-2. So that is big. However it happened, they are in the best position possible. All right. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans, who was on the show earlier today, kinda. He will be taking over after we are done here, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans coming up as soon as we get done. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us. That's just how we operate here.
You're going to get hard if you play us. That's just how we operate here.
Whoa. You left out hit.
No, I said you're going to get hit hard.
You didn't say hit.
You did, man.
You said you're going to get hard
if you play us.
Man, pull that back.
Lee, 713-572-4016. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch.
That'll be today's outro.
If you heard him say hit, going to get hit.
That's weight room right there, baby. And the world all right.